10 years. What a 10 years it has been. I've been here nearly six. My history with the church starts a lot longer. I actually went through the floorboards round about here on a pogo stick a number of years ago. So confess that in front of you all. It was not a fun moment when I get wood in my face and I'm thinking, what's going on? And all the kids are looking at me thinking he's broken the floor. But that's an aside. But I've had a touchline view since 2012. I was actually here at the service where the Bishop's Mission Order was signed. I was taking pictures because my dad was leading the church. And I want to honour both of you two because I think you did some amazing work to lay some real foundations. And when I arrived 6 years ago, I think we've just been able to press forwards with everything. But I think you laid those foundations and you brought unity. There was a number of different people from different churches and you brought a church together. And then I've lived in the benefit of that. So I want to honour you this morning and say thank you. If you go beyond that, Margaret and Jean and Aries, I don't think Aries is here. They've all been here a lot longer than that. This church has been here for 55 years, I think. 55 years, 2 days ago. So this church has been here for a long time, and you guys haven't been here 55 years, but a very long time, and it's been so good to learn some of your stories and to see your passion as a new work's begun here. Today's a day of celebration, isn't it? It's a bit of a strange time, but it is a day of celebration. And we want to celebrate what God has done, but also celebrate the commitment of people who have given their time and energy to enable the church to get to this point. And those who've given their time, their prayers, their money, energy, commitment, we say a huge thank you. But there is a risk. As we move past this point, there is a risk and a danger of settling. This is New Santa Fe. It was originally known as Blue Camp 20 because it was 20 miles from Independence. When the gold rush was happening and everyone was going west to make their fortune, people would stop at this town. It was the last place of civilization, really. Or modern civilization, if you like, before the 700-mile trip across deserts and the lands of understandably hostile indigenous people. The small camp grew to a town, and many who embarked on a journey after gold settled there. They never went beyond. They went 20 miles and stopped. Now, my son Jack, I don't often talk about my kids in turn, but he likes to make things, don't you? His creations. He likes to make things out of magnetic blocks. This is one of the things. You can tell that I didn't plan this video to come up on a Sunday morning because you've got a washing basket in the background, but, you know, that's okay. But the problem is, once Jack's created something, he doesn't really like it to go away. He likes it to stay there. But the other thing that also happens about the same time is he stops playing with it. So it lies there. Doesn't want it changed or packed away. But as soon as we agree to stop admiring it and pack it away, he then finds fresh enjoyment from creating something else. And we take pictures of these to remember them, but we never go back and recreate them. Settling can prevent us from taking hold of what is ours, the gold and the inheritance. But it can also stop us from enjoying life in all its fullness. And this morning, I want to encourage us, don't settle. I love pictures of animals sleeping in strange positions. How can you even do that? This morning, we're going to read a very short passage from Matthew 17. If you've got a Bible, you might want to turn there. We're just going to look at the first 8 verses. If you haven't got a Bible, I'm going to read it to you. And it says this. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And he was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Just going to pray before we start. Father, we thank you for all the things that you've done. But Lord, we thank you that we have access to your word, and we thank you that your word speaks to us today. We ask you, Lord, would you give us ears to hear what you want to say to us this morning? Amen. We started this passage in chapter 17, but the last verse of chapter 16 gives us a little bit of an idea of what's going on here. And Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." So 6 days later, Jesus takes a select group of disciples up a hike on a mountain. It may have been this mountain, it may have been a different one. And it's not clear where in their hike they were. Were they halfway up? Were they at the top? It's not very clear. But the key is that they were away from the crowds. That's the key. They were away from others. And Jesus' appearance changed before their eyes. There's a strange word, transfigured. And what does that mean? I don't know what it really means, but it means that Jesus changed. His appearance changed. His face shone like the sun. His clothes started to glow. And this event was a bit like an uncovering and a revealing of Jesus' true nature. You know Clark Kent? He's just a regular guy, isn't he? Just a regular guy with a regular job. Probably quite hard paid, you know, within the news industry, but he's a regular guy with a regular job. But he's not. Part that shirt and you know he's Superman. He's Superman. He might seem like a normal person to the rest of the world, but he is Superman. And this moment was like Jesus revealing who he really was. Now, it's not like Jesus had a human skin onesie that, you know, you should take it off and that he would. No, Jesus was fully human. And this is the hard bit for our brains to understand. He was fully human. But also, he was the Son of God. And it was like in this moment that it was revealed the glory of Jesus that had been concealed to the world. Moses' face shone in the Old Testament when he entered God's presence. And Jesus' face shone as he reveals he's the Son of God. Two others appear with him, Moses and Elijah, and they talk with each other. Some people don't find silence very easy. Don't know if that's you. And Peter breaks the silence. I think he was one of those people. By suggesting that they should pitch some tents for the three who stand before him. I don't think Peter carefully thought what he was saying. But his words reveal something about what was going on in his heart. Now, I've just got three things I want to sort of show that he was thinking. Peter missed something of the significance of Jesus in this moment when he just blurts something out. Three tents. But the focus of this moment and the significance of this moment was not the two that appeared either side of Jesus. It was Jesus. And that voice from heaven silences him again. And it says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." Peter wanted to get the tent out. Now, I've not even tried this, so it might not work, but kind of. He wanted to get the tents out. I don't know. There we go. I don't think they had these tents back then. It would have taken a bit more work. He'd seen the glory of Jesus, and who wouldn't want to stay in that place? Who wouldn't want to stay in a place where God was especially present? I can think of times that when I've spent worshipping God and where time doesn't really matter. You'd like to stay in that place. And that can be true of our experience on Sunday mornings, especially today. It's been great to just worship God, just to remind ourselves of how good he is. But in the same way that Jesus took his disciples back down from the mountain and took them out into the real world, God sends us out into the world. Jesus prayed. He said, as you, God, have sent me into the world, I have sent them, that's my disciples, into the world. We as Christians are called to impact the world around us. And that's what we're passionate about to do. We are passionate about impacting this community. And not just to be a holy huddle, but to spend time. We want to be passionate about God, but also we need to go out. And for Peter, he just missed that. Actually, the call was to go back down the mountain to the real world. Peter wanted glory without sacrifice. In the chapter before, Jesus had revealed to Peter, it must have been one of the most shocking moments in their time of following, but he revealed to Peter that he must go to Jerusalem to suffer and die. And Peter rebuked him. He said, no. And Jesus said to Satan, get behind me, Satan. And then Jesus had said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus' path of suffering would lead to glory. And this brief moment when Jesus revealed himself is now how Jesus is all of the time. Bright and radiant, glorious and victorious. One with pierced hands, one with the marks of what he's done. This pathway of self-denial, of sacrifice, was true for Jesus, but it's also true for everyone who chooses to follow him. And that's true for us today. What we celebrate today is actually the sacrifice of others. I look at those pictures of people walking. There's 500 who started off walking. We've got documents where they were signed in. It was all on paper because it was in paper in those times. 500 people tried to walk from here to Canterbury overnight to raise money for this building. 250 plus made it. I don't know where the rest of them went. You know, there's no report of what happened to the ones who didn't make it. But it's the sacrifice of people that have made this possible. It's obviously been God breathing upon us. And that's one of the things that makes the Queen so special, isn't it? It's the sacrifice. It's the way that she's given so much to serve other people. You know, she's still working a 40-hour week when she's 96. So what did Jesus say what did God say to Peter and the other disciples about how they should respond to Jesus to this moment? Verse 5, listen, this is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And as Unity Church enters into the next 10 years, we mustn't settle. Try and set up tents and settle. We mustn't look for the easy way out, but we must look and listen to Jesus and follow him. If you're here today and you don't really know much about Jesus, that's fine. But if you'd like to know more and you'd like to discover more, I want to encourage you to do that. He's changed my life and it's changed the life of many people in this church. All of us. It's changed our lives. And above all of the things we do, we want to be a blessing to the community, but above all of the things we do, the thing that makes us unique is we believe that we are here to show something of Jesus to this community. We're not just a charity. We're not just trying to do good. We're doing good because we believe Jesus has been so good to us. And that's why we want to be good. And if you've never looked into it yourself, I'm going to, in the notices, sort of share about an Alpha course. But an Alpha course is a great way to look into it and ask your questions. God has done great things with Unity Church. And we are believing him to do many more great things as we listen to him and follow him for the next 10 years and beyond. God is doing a great work.